few months ago, there was a group of unsuspecting heroes that entered a grocery store, and what they did is they prevented a horrific event from becoming even more catastrophic. And you'll recall this was back in January where this 22-year-old shooter attacked a congresswoman and injured her, as well as the a judge and a 9-year-old little girl, I believe. And up to 20 people were either injured or killed in this attack. And there was one lady in particular that I remember seeing on the news, and they were interviewing her and her involvement, and she wouldn't take any credit for what she did. She said, "Oh, it was the other guys that," and she actually wrestled the magazine away from the gunman, from what I understand. But she gave credit to the other guys that actually attacked the shooter, and didn't want any credit for what she had done. You know, with this recent event, there were heroes, and there are heroes all around us. There are those that perform heroic acts, mostly that go unnoticed, that we don't even hear about, that we don't know anything about. And there are also those that commit, like this 22-year-old young man, selfish and just terrible acts that have long-lasting consequences in them. And there's so many in our society, in our world, that we understand that make foolish, irrational decisions, and it all goes back to self. The generation that was known as the Me Generation has now become an influential segment of our society. Most of the ills that plague our society are rooted in self. You name it: theft, murder, immorality, on and on. You know, they're usually blamed on, well, they just have a poor self-image, right? No, they're really rooted in self. So for the next few minutes, I'd like us to take what Philip has introduced to us tonight, and that's temptation, and we're going to look a little bit deeper in one of those temptations, because certainly we recognize there's selfishness around us, okay? When you leave here, when you go to work or you go to school tomorrow, there are going to be selfish people that you're going to have to interface with, that you're going to encounter. When you drive down Hughes Road, there may be someone that cuts you off, or someone that in the line at the grocery store, and you know those things are going to happen, and we understand it. We have to deal with it. We have to live in this world, but that doesn't mean that we are of this world, that we have to behave and act like the rest of the world behaves. We can easily fall into the trap and find ourselves doing something, maybe not harming someone like the Arizona shooter, but we can harm someone with a poor decision, and we can harm someone and damage the name of the church, and we can damage the life of being a Christian by our actions. Understand, though, that we make decisions daily that might be considered a decision for self. Here's what I'm trying to say. You find a pretty girl and you ask her out, and you know, you've got a personal motive in mind. That may be your future wife. You certainly have a personal benefit as far as that goes, right? If you respond to the invitation, you become a Christian. Certainly you have a personal incentive to do that, right? It's not what we're talking about with selfishness. These are wise decisions that don't create a negative effect on others, or they in themselves are not sinful. So it's here in front of us in James chapter 3 and verse 16. We need to look at the scriptures here and try to see how we can apply this to our lives. Where there is jealousy and selfishness, there is also disorder and every kind of evil. Selfishness is equal to disorder and every kind of evil. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it tells us that whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So the Scriptures, the examples that we have, you know, some we're going to look at here in just a minute, are here for for our learning, for our understanding. And some of them are positive and some of them are negative. The first one that you're all familiar, that we're all familiar with, is the example of Cain. And because of time, we won't go into too much detail other than you remember Cain. And he was categorized as one that didn't have concern for others. Primarily, his own brother, right? He took his life and was known as the first murderer. God came to him afterwards and asked him, where's Abel? Cain responded, am I my brother's keeper? We all must realize that, yes, we are brother's keepers. We are to look out for the interest of one another, the best interest of one another. We are to look out for the, to consider one another and esteem each other better than ourselves. That's not me coming through here and selecting certain ones. That's everyone. It's everyone's child of God, right? We're to love one another, as we find in 1 John 4 and verse 7. This is not an option. So we see here that Cain's selfishness caused him to hate his brother and to kill him, caused by selfishness again. Another example that we have, King Ahab, and actually you could throw in his wife Jezebel as well in this act, because Ahab was so consumed about things. You know, if you recall, there was a neighbor by the name of Naboth. And so Naboth, he wanted to try to strike a deal where he could get his vineyard, because, you know, he could grow twice as many crops, and even offered him money and offered him some kind of trade to try to get his vineyard. And Naboth was just refused. He didn't want to strike up the deal. So what did Jezebel came in and King Ahab was sulking around, and he was mad because he didn't get his way. And what did she do? She went out and took care of it for him. And so she had this poor guy killed, and then she gave her husband this gift. He was ecstatic because of this. He didn't give any thought to what had taken place for him to get this. He had what he wanted. And Jesus teaches us that we can't serve God and things. We have to pick and choose what it is we're going to serve. We're all familiar with the example of David, poor David, and his fulfillment in trying to seek out pleasures with no regard of the cost of getting them. And David's path was a terrible path, where he started out with a sin with Bathsheba, and then trying to cover up some of the other sins, he ended up committing murder and having Bathsheba's husband murdered because of his action. And then the last example we'll look at as far as selfishness, how about James and John? Here are two guys that selfishly desired the power and prestige for themselves. I think they even had their mother involved with trying to solicit Jesus for a place in the kingdom. And it wasn't to benefit others, but it was to inflate their own egos. Jesus told them that their selfishness reflected the selfish attitude of the worldly minded. You know, such ambitious people today are driven by these same kind of motivations. But Jesus taught that those that were great would be least and a servant in his kingdom, right? Well, let's look at some of the problems with the emphasis on self. First of all, we're going to look at someone that might be self-centered. And this actually occurs when someone is absorbed with self. No one enjoys, you all probably know someone that's self-centered. It's easy to see it when others are self-centered, right? You probably can name someone. However, it's a little bit harder for us to look internally at ourselves and see if maybe we might be tempted or we might be a little bit self-centered. And we're going to look at the example of the parable of the rich fool, if you'd like to look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and we're going to pick up in verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And so he said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So then Jesus goes on to speak a parable to him, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. Okay, I want you to notice the pronoun references. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all of my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This specific example illustrates the need to keep God in our plans. Don't focus on me and what I need to do. We need to work everything through the plan that God has for us. Well, secondly, what about someone that might be conceited, that's self-conceited? It's a little bit similar to self-centeredness, but you've heard the phrase before, you know, I hate to brag about something, but I'm going to go ahead and brag anyway. You know that someone's going to, they want to try to tell a little bit about themselves, and basically they're just full of pride. And much in the Bible tells about pride. We find much in the Bible about pride, and unfortunately, it's not very good. God hates pride and resists the proud. And there's several passages there that we could look at that tells us that. We are not to think too highly of oneself, as we find in Romans chapter 12. Well, let's look at Galatians chapter 5. It's highlighted in white. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. You know, if this doesn't get your attention, I don't know what can. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath. What's the next word? Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, selfish ambitions is right in there with some pretty, what we might consider some pretty wicked and evil things. So it's not spoken very highly of by God. Also, we find in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own or for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. I think they speak for themselves. Okay, next we look at someone that's self-willed. Example of that, Jonah, if you'll think about Jonah. This is very common in the religious world. It's the determination that we are going to do whatever we want to do, the way we want to, without any regard for what God's plan is. And if you recall the example of Jonah and the city of Nineveh, where, you know, Jonah was determined that he was not going to do what God wanted him to do. He was going to do what he wanted to do, or what he felt he needed to do. So many people like that today as well. Self-indulgence is the next self we're going to look at. This is giving over to someone's one's passions and inclinations. It's a sin that leads us from God. The example that we have here is, if you remember, the brother Demas. He was once a faithful disciple and a dedicated co-worker of Paul. But guess what? He had forsaken the apostle because he loved the present world and indulged himself in its pleasures, as we find in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. I'm thankful that we live in a free country, in this great country, so please don't take this wrong. But we've got issues here within our nation that we need to be aware of and that we need to try to speak out against, one of those being abortion. This is a very selfish act where the pro-choice advocates, they demand their individual rights to do with their bodies any way that they choose, while at the same time showing no regard for the child. Our society as a whole suffers because three things: a lack of knowledge of God's will, a respect for authority, and selfish ambitions. So what about self-righteousness? Somebody that's self-righteousness, they think that they are, you know, holy and mighty and everything's going great, right? Who comes to your mind, these passages here? If we had time, we would look at them. The Pharisees, right? You know, we can fall into that same trap as the Pharisees. I don't miss a church service. Well, I don't do this, or, you know, I give. I do this, I do that. And we miss the big picture of everything that's involved with being a Christian. They can see the sin in others' lives, someone that's self-righteous, but it's hard to see the shortcomings that we have in our own lives. And we must be very careful in finding fault and criticizing others, because the elevation that we might hold ourselves up to, God's going to hold us up to that same expectation. We must humbly admit our faults and ask God for forgiveness and acknowledge sin in our life as well. And then the last thing here is self-satisfaction. It's easy for us to kind of become complacent in our lives and our service to God, and just kind of, you're kind of on cruise control. It's an attitude situation. Maybe it's the mindset that, you know, I've put my time into being a Christian, and so now I'm going to kind of lay off. I'm going to retire. And I don't find anything in the Word about retiring, right? Christian doesn't retire. He retires when he dies, when he goes to meet the Lord. And we all can work harder. Me, myself, and I can try to prepare myself to do a better job teaching, speaking, leading, singing, etc. And you have to look within your own self and make those self-evaluations as well. But do not be satisfied and complacent with where you are. So what are some practical applications? We look at the passage in Luke chapter 9 about denying ourselves. I'm just going to paraphrase. We're not going to look at this passage here, but basically, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross daily, and follow Christ. We have to deny ourselves. We have to make choices that are based on God's will, not just in pleasing ourselves. We can enjoy this life and the blessings of this life, but we need to make sure that it's consistent with the kind of life that God would want us to live as well. Okay, secondly, putting others first. So we need to deny ourselves. We need to put others first. We need to look at someone else, a brother or sister, and esteem them higher than we do ourselves. There was a coach a few years ago by the name of Pat Riley. He was very successful with the L.A. Lakers. And they won some NBA championships. But the 1981 Lakers, they failed in doing this. And Pat Riley identified the problem with this team. And it was the disease of me. They had too many me players, for those of you that have been on teams. And they fell apart because of this selfishness. As a member of the Lord's body, as a member of your family, as whatever your place is in society, at work or school, we have to avoid the disease of me. If we work with someone, we mentioned this earlier, and we interface with someone maybe that's only out for me, that's going to happen. We have to realize that doesn't mean that we participate in that same kind of mindset in trying to look out for me, right? Here's something. If you don't get anything for what I've got to share tonight, please listen carefully to these thoughts here. When we go out into the world, before we utter or we think a word, we need to think about the consequences, not simply for ourselves, but for those that we may be responsible for those that we may have some influence over. Ask yourself this question: will my action, will my comments, will it hurt my classmates? Will it hurt my coworkers? Will it hurt my employer? Will it hurt my teammates? you name it, whoever, how, what will be the effect? Will my decision affect my children, my spouse? Will my decision affect my family? If we pause for a second and we think about those consequences, we can save ourselves a lifetime of consequences. You don't have to look very far. I turn on the TV. You look at Fox News. We could probably turn it on right now. And there's some celebrity. There's some politician. There's someone publicly that's being dragged down right now because of some poor decisions that they made, right? You know, you can fill in the blank, the celebrity of the week, who that might be. And they're basically ruining their life because of some of the decisions that they're making. These passages here, we'll look at a couple of them. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 18, I think it's important for us to look at how much God talks about love. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We talked about Cain a minute ago. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. So we also should lay our lives down for our brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in needs and shuts his heart up from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We could pick any one of these passages, and there's so much information here that we need to really have in our heart as we deal with our fellow man. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. The proper attitude towards self is a sign of Christian maturity. You know, we can look at the little children and we can kind of understand some of their selfish acts, right? It's hard to look at a grown adult and have that same understanding. We need to be careful with our acts and our attitudes and our actions. And I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about myself, I'm talking about us. I'm not talking about the person sitting beside us. We need to examine ourselves, and we need to identify those things that might be borderline selfishness. So the question for us tonight, are we being selfless or are we being selfish? So as we close, it would be remiss if I didn't mention a few good examples that we find of those that were selfless. The first example was Abraham, okay? And just to summarize his example, he shared flocks and herds with Lot. And so Abraham was the elder of the two, and he could have used his seniority and given Lot sort of the second, the leftovers of what he didn't want. But he didn't do that. You know, Lot probably owed his wealth and everything that he had because of Abraham. But Abraham selflessly deferred to Lot and gave him, the livestock and the land that he chose to give him. Secondly, the story of Joseph. Boy, if anyone ever had an excuse to be selfish, it would be poor Joseph, right? Had a poor childhood, that was sold into slavery by his brothers. They sold him out. He went into slavery. And so he grows up in Potiphar's house, and the brothers, things get kind of tough for the brothers and the family. And so they come to see Joseph to try to get some assistance, not knowing that it was Joseph, you know, that was at this level in the king's palace. And Joseph recognized them. He knew them. And what did Joseph do? He could have demanded that they be punished, could have had them put to death. But he looked out for their best interest and took care of them. We all know the example of the Good Samaritan. You know, this poor guy is laying on the side of side of the road, and he's been beaten, and you've got the priest and the Levi that go by, and they just kind of glance over at him and, you know, just kind of go on their way. And the Good Samaritan, Jesus taught, did the right thing. He looked after that person and made sure that he was helped. We have the example of Barnabas. Barnabas saw the needs of his brethren, so he sold his land, gave the money to the Lord's cause, so that those in need might have some relief. If we ever had a good example as a Christian, Barnabas is a great example for us to look at on how to interact in a selfless manner. And then we have the example of Paul. Paul selflessly gave his life, gave himself to the Lord, setting an example for the kind of disciples that Christ would have us to be, to the point of prison and even to the point of death. He remained faithful. But last, and the greatest example that we have, the ultimate example of selflessness, let us not forget that the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who left heaven and came to this world to give himself as a sacrifice for you and for me. There's a song that we're gonna sing here in just a minute. The song is entitled "None of Self and All of Thee." It goes really well with what we've been talking about tonight. But think about this song as we sing it. It starts out in the first verse. "Oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be, when I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee. Yet he found me, I beheld him, bleeding on the cursed tree, and my wistful heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. Day by day, his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee." Finally, we get it. "Higher than the highest heavens, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last has conquered none of self and all of thee." Please think about these things as we stand together and we sing this song of encouragement tonight. If you're in subject of the invitation, if you've somehow sinned against the church, you need to let those be known, and we can pray with you. We'll be happy to do that. If you'd like to become a Christian and come forward and confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized for remission of your sins, there's not a better time to do that than here now amongst your friends, amongst those that love you. Please stand together as we sing this song.